This is the Epilogue Audio Experience.
You're listening to The Artist Podcast with me, Sajita. Stay tuned. Hi guys, we are back with a snacky episode of The Artist Podcast. And I know we took a little bit of tiny break in March. It was due to filmmaking commitments and that sort of took over podcasting. But also the fact that I thought that we need to seriously focus on the quality of the episodes more than the quantity of it. And so we've decided that we are going to go with one episode a month, which is longish, which is going to be tremendously value-adding, hopefully. And one snacky, short episode like this, also because of the content clutter that we see out there, can become a bit disorienting what to follow, what to listen, how to go about things, and hence we have thought this would be a great way to move forward. And so I've been working on my daily routines as an artist, and I'm wondering, how do you guys function? What are your daily rituals and what are your daily routines? I came across this amazing book, which was quite some time back. The first time I heard about it was from one of my favorite podcasters, Tim Ferriss. It is about daily rituals, and I got the book, but I never got to reading it. I always thought it was my kind of book, and it is my kind of book when I ultimately got to actually reading it. So this is a highly recommended book, and it's called Daily Routines: How Artists Work, and it's something that's sort of given me a direction to sculpt my own daily rituals and routines, which can actually go pretty much haywire. There are 160 artists covered in this, and I'm going to be sort of taking you through a few of my absolute favorites. So of course there is Fellini, there is Bergman, there is Beethoven, there is Chopin, one of my favorites, there is Flaubert, there is Thomas Mann, Freud, Carl Jung. There is Matisse, my favorite painters. There is John Miro. There is Hemingway, my favorite writers. There is Murakami, Kant. There is Franz Kafka, my absolute favorite. There is Eric Satie. There is Picasso, Jean-Paul Sartre, my absolute favorite. There are filmmakers like Woody Allen, David Lynch. There is Maya Angelou, another favorite. There is James Dickey. There is Nikola Tesla. And there's Tolstoy. There is Twain. There is Andy Warhol. There is Jackson Pollock, there is Stephen King, you name it. Some great artists covered there, 160 artists in this fantastic 274 page book that you need to urgently go, rush, grab, read, absorb, and see what it does to your psyche. So I begin with one of my favorite artists, Federico Fellini, the most influential Italian filmmaker who did not sleep for more than 3 hours at a time. In his 1977 interview, he said that he wakes up at 6 in the morning and he walks around the house, opens windows, books around boxes, moves books from here to there. And he adds that, for years I've been trying to make myself a decent cup of coffee, but it's not one of my specialities. And by 7, he's on the telephone, randomly calling people. Well, I don't know what's going to happen if we try and do that. And then there's Bergman, who wrote in his 1964 interview that 8 hours of hard work each day to get 3 minutes of film. And during those 8 hours, there may be only 10 or 12 minutes, if you're lucky, of real creation. He mostly followed the same routine daily, which was getting up at 8 a.m., writing from 9 until noon, and then a little meal. He constantly ate the same lunch. And then after lunch, Bergman worked again from 1 to 3, then he slept for an hour, and then in the late afternoon, he went for a walk or took a ferry to a neighboring island to pick up newspapers and the mail. Beethoven, another favorite of mine, listen to his Fifth Symphony if you haven't. He rose at dawn, he wasted little time getting down to work, he had his breakfast, which he prepared with great care, and he sat at his desk, worked till 2 or 3, taking an occasional break that he would walk outdoors. After his midday dinner, Beethoven embarked on a long, vigorous walk, which could occupy much of the rest of the afternoon. And he always carried a pencil and a couple of sheets of music paper in his pocket to record chance musical thoughts. As the day came to an end, he would stop, read newspapers, and evenings he would often spend with company or at the theater. And then there is Voltaire, the writer and the philosopher, who spent mornings in bed reading and dictating new work to one of his secretaries. At noon, he would rise and he got dressed, and then he would receive visitors, and if there were none, he would continue to work, taking coffee and chocolate for sustenance. He never had lunch. And between 2 and 4, Voltaire and his principal secretary, they went out in a carriage to survey the estate. And then he worked again until 8. I think this is such a great life to just, you know, have your estate and you can just work and walk around and do your routine. Now, Benjamin Franklin, I think his autobiography is something that would you would get a great insight on how he lived his life. He was very, very, very meticulous and very, very, very particular about his day-to-day timetable and routine. And he had a quest of moral perfection. Each week, he actually had a plan for 13 weeks. I actually tried in doing this, but I could not stick to it. It was each week was devoted to a particular virtue. It was Monday was temperance, then Tuesday was cleanliness, Wednesday was moderation, and all these virtues that he consistently, dedicatedly practiced. He also had a weird ritual, which was he would replace cold water baths with air baths. Well, I don't think we can afford to do that unless we're running really short of water again, like what's been happening around the world. And then there is Chopin, one of the great masters of romantic music. So how did Chopin work? Most of the days he rose late, he had breakfast in his bedroom, and he spent the day composing with a break to give a piano lesson to his girlfriend's daughter. And by 6 p.m., the household assembled for dinner, often served outdoors, followed by music, conversations, and entertainments. Wow, that's how artists work, you know. No rush, no hurry, nothing hanging on your head to deliver at the last moment. So that is why you create great art. And Chopin, his creation was spontaneous and miraculous, and he found it without seeking it, without foreseeing it. It came on his piano suddenly, complete, sublime, or it sang in his head during a walk, and he was impatient to play it to himself. Then there is Thomas Mann, Karl Marx, and then there is another favorite of mine, Sigmund Freud. So Freud rose each day by 7. He ate breakfast and he had his beard trimmed by a barber who made a daily house call for this purpose. And then Freud saw patients from 8 until the noon, and then dinner, the principal meal of the day, was served promptly at 1. Freud was not a gourmet fan. He disliked wine and chicken and preferred solid middle class fare like boiled or roasted beef. And then after dinner, Freud went for a walk. His son has said that my father literally marched at terrific speed and not walk. And from 3 p.m., he would again get back to his consultations, followed by more analytic patients at 9 in the night. And in these long work days, he had two luxuries. One was his beloved cigars, which he smoked continually, going through as many as 20 cigars a day, because he felt that smoking is one of the greatest and cheapest enjoyments in life, and he felt sorry for people who did not smoke. And then there is Henri Matisse, who writes that he never gets bored, and for over 50 years he has never stopped working for an instant. From 9 a.m. to noon, that's the first sitting, and then he has his lunch. Then he takes a little nap and take brushes again at 2 in the afternoon until the evening. So it's all dependent on how you design or how your system designs your creativity. And then there is Gertrude Stein. Then there is Hemingway, another favorite of mine. And Hemingway rose very early at 5:36. He would wake up nonetheless, even though he had a late night. That's something to learn. And when he's working on a book or a story, he would write it in the morning as soon as possible with the first light that dawned on him. There is Scott Fitzgerald, there is William Faulkner, and then there is Arthur Miller, who wrote that he never had any routine. He would get up and he would go to his studio and he would just write, and then he would tear it up, and then he would write again, and then he would keep doing that, writing and tearing and writing till he got what he really wanted to get. So, which also means that some people get it fast, some people do not get it fast, or they do not get what they actually are looking for. And then there is Murakami, another favorite of mine, who wakes up at 4 a.m. and works for 5 to 6 hours straight. And then in the afternoons, he runs or swims, or he runs errands and reads and listens to music and goes to bed by 9 p.m. And that's his daily routine every day without variation. And he also writes that the repetition itself becomes the important thing. It's a form of mesmerism. I mesmerize myself to reach a deeper state of mind. Wow, that's something I would definitely like to aspire. And then there is Franz Kafka, one of my most favoritest, if there's a word like that. He would actually start writing in the night. Like, he would sit down on his desk at 10:30 and would actually start writing from 11:30. And depending on his strength, his inclination and his luck, he would continue till 3 o'clock or even at 6 a.m. till dawn. Wow. And then, of course, Kafka had a morning job to take care of. So he used to do a job. By night, he would settle down to write. So see, so different from other artists. And then comes Picasso, who is one of my favorite painters. I don't know if there's any other artist whose every single work, every single painting I admire, I hopefully have seen all of his work. He went to bed late and he got up late. And he shut himself in the studio by 2 p.m. until at least dusk. Meanwhile, his girlfriend was left alone to her own devices, hanging around the apartment, waiting for Picasso to finish his work and join her for dinner. Well, and when he emerged from the studio, he was hardly a good company. He rarely spoke. Sometimes he would not utter a word from beginning to end. He was either bored, but I think he was pretty much self-absorbed. He would be more sociable if guests were present. Well, pretty much moved between antisocial sulking and gregariousness. And painting never bored Picasso. He was never ever tired of it. Even after 3 to 4 hours standing in front of a canvas, he was not fatigued even the slightest bit. And that is why his work is so great, because he's so much aligned to his work. Comes Jean-Paul Sartre, one of my favorite philosophers, writers, who just worked for 6 hours. He was very, very particular about that. So 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the evening. That was his rule. He also lived in a creative frenzy most of his life, alternating between his daily 6 hours of work and an intense social life that was filled with rich meals, heavy drinking, drugs, and tobacco. On a typical day, Sartre worked in his Paris apartment until noon, then went out for an hour of appointments scheduled by his secretary. By 1:30, he joined his companion, who was also a great writer, Simone de Beauvoir, and their friends for lunch. And then he washed down with a quart of red wine, and 3:30 on the dot, he pushed away from the table and rushed back to his apartment for a second period of work. Wow. And if you do this consistently, you are going to definitely build a whole body of work which Sartre has. And there is Sylvia Plath, there is Louis Armstrong, and then there is Woody Allen, who was, when not shooting, most of Allen's creative energy goes towards mentally working out the problems of a new story. Now this is the hard part that he writes. So once he's satisfied with the story elements, the writing itself comes easy, and the filmmaking is mostly a chore. So, but to get the story right requires obsessive thinking. To keep from getting stuck in a rut, he's developed few reliable tricks. He writes that, "I found over the years that any momentary change stimulates a fresh burst of mental energy. So I'm in this room and then I go into the other room and it helps. And then I go out to the street and it's a huge help. If I go up and take a shower, it's a big help. So sometimes I take extra showers. I'll be down here in the living room and what will help me is to go upstairs and take a shower. It breaks up everything and relaxes me out." So yeah. Filmmaker, another kind of routine. And then there is David Lynch, who likes to do things absolutely orderly. And also he was heavily into transcendental meditation, which he practiced daily since 1973. So he used to meditate like once in the morning and again in the afternoon for almost 20 minutes each time. And then he would go about his business of the day. If he's shooting a film, he will sometimes sneak in a third session at the end of the day. So he was that particular about his transcendental meditation. And then there's Maya Angelou, who was never able to write at home. She always kept a hotel room where she went and started writing after she had her cup of coffee with her husband at 6:30 in the morning. And then she would write from 7 till about 2. And then she would come back home and she would have her lunch and continue the rest of the day. And then there's Nikola Tesla, who said, if you want to understand the universe, you need to think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibrations. And Tesla would work best in the dark and would raise the blinds only in the event of a lightning storm, which he liked to watch flashing above the cityscape from his black sofa. He typically worked at the office until midnight with a break at 8 p.m. for dinner. So yeah, this is a great book to read, to absorb, and hopefully it's going to give you a direction that will enable you to realize your fullest potential daily as an artist by enabling your own rituals and your own routines. But of course, also trying to understand that this is just the path, and this is just the direction towards the path. The walking of the path is entirely yours, the way you design it. Because at the end of the day, you have to sit in the silence of your room, declutter yourself, to find yourself as artists and the purpose and what you bring to the world, and going in a bit deeper as souls to be able to let that energy flow through you, to be able to create something worthy that will stand the test of time. And that is what makes these artists so great, because their work stands the test of time. That's it, folks. I hope this episode was inspiring and also creating an awareness within your own self to understand your own daily rituals and routines as artists. Take care.